And apart from just eradicating the feral animals to let the plants and native species recover, Project Eden also has a captive breeding programme to help kickstart the process. Colleen Sims.
Let me show you here one of the animals that we've been breeding. This is a bilby, or more correctly, it's called a greater bilby. These guys used to be very common across Australia, around about 70% of the country. They are a marsupial and a burrowing marsupial. So one of the unusual things about many of the burrowing marsupials, they have a pouch that points backwards, so they don't fill them up with sand when they dig.
That could be a disadvantage, couldn't it? It's about the size of a rabbit, isn't it, this one?
That's
a small
right.
rabbit.
Yep. As you can see, at the very long ears, one of the common names was the rabbit-eared bandicoot. The bilby is one of the bandicoot family. They're actually omnivores rather than a herbivore like a rabbit. So they'll eat anything from seeds, root tubers, insects. They also have been known to eat mice and small geckos and things too, so they'll pretty much go anything that gives them a good feed. They have some fairly sharp teeth, obviously, considering the array of food they eat. The other thing that's a dead giveaway for their behaviour, I guess, is if you look at their forearms, they've got very strong short forearms and very long claws for digging on the front feet. They can go along at a fairly good clip. I guess it's fairly similar to a rabbit gait, in fact, a sort of a half-hopping gait to start with, and once they get fast, they will actually really get running. They are nocturnal, so they live in burrows during the day, anything up to about 2 or 3 metres deep, so they can move a lot of sand, move it very fast. They actually were a fairly common food source for the Aboriginal people, and still are in some of the remote desert regions, but it takes a lot of effort for them to actually dig a bilby out of its burrow.
So given they can hide underground, why are they particularly vulnerable to things like cats and foxes then?
The reality is they probably are one of the less vulnerable. The fact that they actually do still exist and persist in Central Australia at this stage means they're doing a lot better than many of the other species we previously had here. That doesn't mean they're immune, and there's certainly ongoing concerns that they may still be slowly shrinking in numbers. Because they're nocturnal, because they are omnivores and move about the landscape depending on food sources, it's quite difficult to monitor them. Often you can return to an area where there was quite a thriving bilby colony and several years later they aren't there anymore, and it does create problems to work out whether those animals, that population has actually gone extinct or whether it has moved somewhere. But there's certainly ongoing concerns that even though they were persisting in the desert areas, that population and the range may still be shrinking.
So when you want to breed an animal like this in captivity, what does that actually involve?
Obviously, it initially involves getting the original animals from the wild and setting up a program. We have a fairly intensive management program here to try and manage the distribution of the genetics through the breeding population. These guys are actually comparatively easy to breed. They've actually been partially adopted in Australia as a replacement for the Easter Bunny. Obviously, the similarity in appearance makes them quite convenient for that, but also because they are actually quite a rapid breeder, so the fertility aspect is actually carried on. So we have an Easter bilby these days in Australia. We'll usually get anything up to 3 or 4 litters out of these guys in a season, in a year. So they'll produce usually a litter of 2, but anything from 1 to 3. And we will usually, based on some advice from the National Stud Book, that gives us an idea of the relationship of various bilbies we have in our colony. We'll pair a male and a female, and they may stay paired for most of their time here. We may get, once we've had 3 or 4 litters, we might decide we actually want to move pairs about and remanage the pairings and the genetic lines from that.
So when a baby pops out, it first of all goes into this backwards-facing pouch. Mm-hmm. How long does it spend in there?
The bilbies, as mentioned, as a bandicooter, actually have a really rapid reproductive rate. Their gestation is only about 10 days. So, as with most marsupials, the fetus comes out very small and very underdeveloped, and they then spend around about anything from 65 to about 75 days in the pouch.
And are they sociable? Will they hang around with a family group, or do they go off on their own and act independently as soon as they get out the pouch?
They'll usually spread out and disappear. In fact, some may think this is a great idea we should do with our kids, but the bilbies, the females, actually will leave the burrow, the home burrow, to the kids. So she's the one who basically leaves them after around about 2 weeks after they've come out of the pouch.
Colleen Sims, who's a vet and project officer with Project Eden.